Jonah chapter number 1 this evening, and look with me if you would in verse number 1. We'll take a text tonight, and then I want to give you some introduction tonight and get a groundwork laid, and then I just want to deal with the first 5 verses of the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter number 1, let's begin reading in verse number 1. When you find your places, stand with me tonight if you can, and able in honor and reverence of the reading of the Word of God. Jonah chapter number 1, verse number 1, the Bible said, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I sure love you tonight. Lord, thank you for the sweet spirit, Lord, that we felt already tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd have your will and way, Lord, here tonight to go up and down the aisles and amongst the pews. Lord, I pray you touch every heart. Lord, I pray you help each one of us to leave tonight glad that we've been in the house of God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you put a guard upon my lips. Have me to say nothing that be contrary to your will or your word tonight. Lord, we pray most of all, if it be one of the midst, lost and done without you, Lord, save them, for it's everlasting too late. We'll be careful tonight to give you all the praise and all the glory for everything that you've done, all that you will do. We'll thank you tonight and praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. You be seated. And thank you for standing tonight. Now, the book of Jonah, I realize tonight, is very familiar to us. I know that, dare say, everybody in the building knows of the story or the account of Jonah. But this week I wanted so bad, I really do, to get over there and continue with the church. I wanted to start tonight looking at the man of God. And for some reason, God just will not let me get into that yet. But all week I've just had this story or this account on my mind. In fact, I'm not trying to be spiritual, super spiritual, but I told my wife this evening that I've read the book of Jonah 15 times this week. It seemed like God just would not let me get away from it. And I began to look at some things, and I noticed, John, that as I began to read through, I thought, I would to God that the book of Jonah was just one chapter. It ought to be one chapter. Y'all look at it like I'm not saying God's word's messed up. I'm just saying, if things had went the way they should have went, it would have been one chapter. You know that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be chapter 1, wouldn't be chapter 2, wouldn't be chapter 4. The book of Jonah ought to consist of chapter 3. And that be,
yeah, that's right.
It is. It's a shame this evening that Jonah is the book is 4 chapters. It'd been wonderful tonight had it just been chapter 3. In fact, the Lord wouldn't let me do it tonight, but I wish I could preach a message tonight on what chapter are you on. But listen tonight, I want to give you by way of introduction a real general outline of the book of Jonah. I mean, just really just hit the very tip-tops of the mountains and go on by way of introduction. In chapter 1 tonight, I notice as I begin to read, chapter 1 deals with Jonah's disobedience. Isn't that right? God tells him, we read a moment ago, to rise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. And the Bible said, but Jonah rose and decided he'd go to Tarshish. Isn't that right? He was disobedient to the will and the word of God. And let me just stop by way of introduction and say this. Over the years, I've had people say, well, preacher, I think God wants me to do this. And I'd say, I don't believe so. That goes against the Bible. And they'd say, but I believe it be the Lord's will. Can I just stop and say this? His will never go against his words. Amen. If the Bible does not back it up, it's not his will.
That's right.
Is that right? I'll give you an example. Give you an example tonight. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I had a woman ask me one time. She came to me and she wanted me to anoint her husband with oil. He was having some health issues, and she came. He didn't come to church with her. I'd never met him. In fact, they told me he never went to church. And she came, and you said, "Preacher, you judging him?" "No, I'm going to give you scripture in a minute." She came to me. She said, "Preacher, I believe, I'm not mistaken, he had prostate cancer, and it didn't look good." And she said, "Preacher, I want you to anoint my husband with oil." She said, "I know the Bible said that if they be any sick, let them be anointed with oil." That's what she said. And she said, "I want you to anoint him with oil. I'm going to have faith that God will heal it." And she got so mad because I told her that wasn't scriptural.
That's right.
Not scriptural. Right. Is that right?
Yep.
I mean, she was fighting mad. In fact, she got on Sunday morning. Sunday night, she got up for the whole church and told everybody what a bad person I was, that I wouldn't do it, and said it was the will of God that her husband be anointed with oil. Well, I know it wasn't the will of God for her husband be anointed with oil. You know why? Because the Bible said, "If there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church." I told her, I said, ma'am, I'm not against the Lord him with all. It's not the fact he doesn't come to church. It's not even the fact he's lost that bothers me necessarily. I said, I might even do it. If he would come and ask me himself. That's what the Bible said. Let them call for them. Well, while we're on the subject, let me say this. Anointing with oil gets me in trouble for some reason. They asked her one time, they said, "Preacher, Hayden, cut me off just a second. Cut me back on my feet." In chapter 1, but then in chapter 2, we find Jonah's distress. Now, listen to me tonight. I'm not getting into a prosperity gospel. Don't shut me down. But we've talked about a prosperity gospel and an anti-prosperity gospel so long that we fail to remember our disobedience can cause distress.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, listen, I'm against it too. They'll send me $100 and you'll get $1,000 back. That's not biblical.
Right?
There are times you face struggles and you face trials, and it's not because you've sinned. It's not because you've been disobedient. Look at Job. Isn't that right? Job didn't do anything wrong. In fact, the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Isn't that right? Job didn't do a thing wrong. But can I say this? In Jonah's case, it was his disobedience that brought on his distress. Isn't that right? Chapter 2, you'll find him cast in the sea, swallowed by the whale, by the great fish. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Yep.
You'll find him all in chapter 2. He's with inside that whale in the depths of the ocean. In chapter 2, the Bible said the Lord spoke to the fish and it spat him out on the ground. That's what the Bible said. So we see his disobedience in chapter 1. We see his distress in chapter 2. Then in chapter 3, we finally see his devotion to do the will of God. You realize in chapter 3 he finally did what he should have done in chapter 1. That may not do much to you. Maybe it's just for me tonight. But I about shouted when I got to chapter 3. I thought, you know what? The Lord could have said, "If you won't do it, I'll find somebody else." Ain't that right? He very well could have done that. But you realize all the time that God put into Jonah, I'm about to come slap her loose. Before Jonah was, the Lord had already prepared a fish for Jonah to give him a second chance to do the will of God. I say thank God for a second chance. Where would we be tonight had he not given us a second chance? And in chapter 3, we finally see him being devoted to doing the will of God. Now, in chapter 4, it seems like Jonah's life's picking up. He's got over the disobedience. He's gone through the distress. And he's finally devoted, just doing what God told him to do. Then chapter 4 rolls around. And old Jonah, he's a strange character. He's the only preacher I know that goes and preaches revival. Everybody gets saved, and he's mad about it.
Yeah, that's right.
What happened?
That's right.
He went and preached revival. Everybody in the city got saved.
Yeah.
God was going to destroy it. Then,
They repented. God showed them mercy. God showed them grace. And chapter 4 told us bad about it.
Yeah.
Now he said, Lord, you are just wiping them off the face of the earth. Somebody answered.
Right.
He must have been a pastor is what it is. I couldn't have time to myself. That's where he is. I mean, he went from being devoted to the things of God and the will of God and the word of God. And now in chapter 4, guess what? Now he disapproves of God. Ain't that right? That right? I mean, what a roller coaster ride in Jonah's life. You say, preacher, what's that have to do with anything? I thought about that this week. I don't know if I'll preach one message or if I preach a series, but I want to look at Jonah tonight. I want to look tonight at this thought, the dangers of disobedience. Can I say this? Listen to me. I thought about Kendra. Man, she's babied Andrew. Since he got burned, and I had too to a certain extent. And it's just about, some of you had kids, you know what I'm talking about, it's just about caught up with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I told him today, I said, buddy, I'd hate to have to whoop you. Well, you hurting like you are, but you're not going to just do anything. Somebody help me right there. He's still mine to, well, don't look at me like it. He's still mine to raise. Still my job teaching right from wrong. Somebody help me.
Yeah, right.
I told her, she asked me, she said, well, could you really do it? Could you really whoop him with him hurt like that? And I said, well, I'll tell you, I could. And I tell you why I could. I said, because I don't want 18 years from now for me to go down to South Carolina to preach in a prison and it be the first. Somebody help me right there.
I just feel like
preaching. I don't want to see him next time I see him 18 years from now. I don't want to see him behind bars. And it's my job to teach him right from wrong. It's my job to teach him to be obedient. It's my job this evening. There is a danger to disobedience. I say this tonight, it does not stop when you're a child. I said before, you've heard me say that the reason God expects us to raise our children that way is to realize when they get older, there's a danger to being disobedient to God.
Right.
That's the reason God expects you to train your child in the way it should go. And so that when they get older, they'll realize there's a danger to being disobedient to the authority of God.
There's
a danger to disobedience. Can I say this? Listen to me. We fail to forget sometimes we talk about children and we talk about prison and we talk about how they were disobedient to the law and we talk about this and that, and it's easy to see everybody else's disobedience, but listen to me tonight. In our own lives spiritually, there is a danger to being disobedient to the will and the word of God.
Right.
Well, I want to show you a few things quickly. Look with me if you would in verse 1. Bible said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Number one, I want to say this tonight. There was a command. Is that right? Now notice this. If you find it, you show me. I'll apologize to the whole church. I don't see anywhere the Lord said, if you want to, it'd be nice if you went to.
He said,
arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their weakness has come up before me. Isn't that what the Bible said? You know what he was saying in layman's terms? Get up, go. Y'all, I know y'all better parents than I am, but Jessica, every once in a while, they say, just get up and go. I mean, I've told him, and I say, just get up, go. It was a command. There's so much in the Word of God that we took for a request. It is a command, you see. Well, you're going to die, but it's all right. If you said amen, you'll be right there. I just let it slide, not got any of it. But there's so much that we take as a request that is a command. Now, I'll give you a few. Shake off this human self together. As a man of so many, I'm getting that all mixed up, man. But you want to bump that? Can I say this? You realize tonight that's not a request, that's a command. In fact, the Bible said, moreover, it is required in steward that a man be found faithful. Isn't that right? It's required. It's not a request. It's required, you see. Well, if not, then it'll be all right. It's okay. It's required, you see. It's a command to be found faithful. Can I say this? It's not a request to go soul winning. It's a command. It's not a request to support missions. It's a command.
That's right. Amen.
Well, if your father acts like he had you, I heard, all right? Listen to me. You say, preacher, you're trying to be mean? No, I'm not. I'm telling you, listen, there is. It's time we evaluate as a church, as individuals, and see where it is that we've become disobedient and realize there is a danger to disobedience.
Amen.
There was a price he paid for going against the Word of God and the will of God. Listen to me. God asks you to do something this evening. God tells you to do something. There's a danger to not doing it this evening. All right? Now listen, this generation, my generation, it was slack, but some of y'all, I don't mean it's ugly, but some of y'all older ones, you know, growing up, there was a danger to disobedience.
Yeah,
right? Y'all didn't get beat like I did, like my others did. You know why? Because they whooped you one time, you've got enough of it. That's it.
Yeah.
You just decided that's what it's going to be. You didn't want no more. Somebody hit me right there.
Right?
Yeah. Now listen. Can I say this? Listen to me. There's a danger to disobedience. There was a command. It was not a request. It was not a good idea. It was not something that Jonah felt like doing. But he said, arise, get up, go to Nineveh, cry against it. There was a command. Now notice this. I'm interested in verse 3 tonight. The Bible said, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it and go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah decided that wasn't the way he wanted to go. Is that right? I don't only see the command, but then I see Jonah's, I see Jonah's course, if you would. He decided he didn't want to go God's way, he's going to go his way. Now, I don't know why he gets so quiet, because I ain't tied this into you yet, but I'm getting there, okay? Listen, he decided it's not going to be God's way. I'm going to go my way. Now, I'm not going to preach though, because I don't have time. I told you I was going to hurry. Verse 2, everything the Lord said was, get up, go up. Is that right?
Yeah.
Let's come up unto me. God was interested in Jonah going up. Is that right?
Yeah.
From verse 3 to the end of chapter 2, all Jonah did was go down.
Yeah.
Is that right? Watch what your Bible says. Notice this. Watch this. Watch verse 2. Bible says in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare up and went down into it. So he's went down to Joppa. Now he's went down into a ship. Now watch this, to go with him on Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. They got out there in chapter, in the other part of chapter 1, you know what happened, the storm came, and he said, throw me into the sea. So now he's even lower than the ocean, is that right?
Yeah.
In fact, when he got out there in the ocean, you'll find out that Jonah was in the hinder end of the side of the ship, down below the deck asleep. Then he goes even lower, and then gets thrown in. Into the, ain't that right?
Yeah.
Then he's swallowed by the great fish and taken to the depths of the ocean. All he did was go down, down, down.
Yeah.
And I say this, when you rebel, you mark her down, you'll go down, down,
amen.
Down.
That's right.
You know, the saddest thing, though, it wasn't just the fact he was going down. Two times in verse 3, the Bible made this statement, from the presence of the Lord. Ain't that sad? You realize what happens when you're disobedient? You're not just going down. You're going away from God.
Right.
Don't look at it. That's what the Bible said. Said that he fled from the presence of the Lord. He decided it wasn't going to be God's way. He's going his own course. And all he did was bring himself down and away from God. Ain't that
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But guess what? Even away from God, the Lord was still there.
Yeah,
boy,
yeah.
Right. What the Bible said. I can't preach all four chapters tonight. You've got to help me a little bit. Watch this. I see his course. He went down. He went away from God. Now notice this. I see his chance. Watch verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. Now watch this. He decided, I'm not going to go God's way. I'm going to go my own way. Now watch what the Bible said. He went down. He went unto Tarshish. Rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Now I want you to get the picture. This has always been funny to me. Maybe it don't do nothing for you, but it always has me. The Bible said he decided, I'm paraphrasing, he decided instead of going to Nineveh, I believe I won't go to Tarshish. Is that right? He went down to Joppa to see if he could find a ship. Ain't that what the Bible said? And guess what? They just happened to be one loading right there. They take him to Tarshish.
Mm-hmm.
Is Yeah. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. Is that what the Bible said? Just happened to be one, Brother Corey, that's going around. I mean, he didn't have to wait in line. Is that right? So he just went that into it. Can I say this? Listen to me. I see his chance. Listen to me. You ever decide to go the wrong way, and the enemy will make sure you've got every chance there is.
Amen. That's right.
I might not be helping you, but it's helping me, so I'm going to preach myself. He'll make sure you've got every opportunity you want to go your own way.
Yeah, right.
There will be no waiting in line. How many times have you ever, we used to go pitching forward, and everybody would ride that trolley. Back then, we was all dirt poor. Yes, we spent all the money getting up there, so instead of driving, we'd ride a trolley everywhere we went. I mean, there was never a time, John, we come out of somewhere, and the trolley was just, I don't ever remember a time, it was just there. We'd just get off. I don't ever remember that. You'd see it, and you'd wait, and you'd wait. And there'd been one come by, but it wasn't going where you need to go. Ain't that right? I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe I just got bad luck, but John didn't have to wait for a ship to come in more than Tarshish. He just walked in there, and there it was. And guess what? They loaded. They had room for him. Everything was worked out. That's exactly what the devil will do in your life. You decide you're going to go your own way. He'll pave it for you. He'll make it as easy as he can make it for you to go your own way. He wants you to go down, down, down. He wants you to get away from God. He wants you to be disobedient. He'll make sure you have the chance to go your own way. He'll make it as easy as he can. I see his course and I see his chance. Now watch this. Verse 3, the Bible said, when the ship went to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Well, let me say this. Not only do I see his chance, but I see his cost. Listen to me. Sin will always cost you something. Mm-hmm. Disobedience will always cost you something. I thought I'd preach a lot harder than I am, and I feel like I'm just kind of talking, but that's all right. Listen, I thought this evening, sitting there in my study, I thought about over there about Judas when he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Had to remember, I preached that not too long ago, how I talked about how John, he never got to spend that silver. Never even spent it. You realize this is through me. Jonah paid a fare to go to Tarshish. But he never went. Never got where he wanted to go. That'll help you in a minute. Now, aren't you glad that God intervened and Jonah didn't go to Tarshish? But he went to the end of the God worked in hell. But he still paid the price to go to Tarshish. Listen to me. Sin will always cost you more than you want to pay. Well, you're dying on it, but that's all right. Listen, I want you to get this tonight. I want you to realize he paid the price of going to Tarshish, but he never even got there.
Yeah,
listen to me. That's how sin works. How many times you think about your life? Maybe you can't, but I can. I can think of times in my life that I decided I'd go my own way and I'd do my own thing. And I can see where I've paid the price for that choice, even though God intervened and I never got where I thought I'd go.
Yeah, amen.
I see where I paid the price and suffered a loss for disobedience. Ain't that right? Listen to me. You say, well, preacher, that's all right. Nothing. There wasn't anything he could do about it. Sure there was. He just went to Nineveh when God told him to.
Yeah.
He just still had that money in his pocket. Ain't that right?
Amen.
You know what our problem is tonight? We're paying prices for sin we shouldn't have to pay.
Yeah.
Amen.
Can I give you something real quick and watch this? Is disobedience, let us agree on something real quick. Is disobedience not sin?
Yes,
right. So I'm not talking about drinking. I'm not talking about drugs. I'm talking about being disobedient to the will of God and the Word of God. That's a sin. The Bible says him don't do good. Heaven goes it not to him that's sin. Isn't that right? Disobedience is a sin. Now watch this. We was talking the other night in Bible college about over in Romans 6 some things that Christians are dead to. They're dead to sin. They're dead to self. And they're dead to the world. Isn't that right? Let me tell you a story I read this week real quick. I'll bring it up a little bit. I heard a story talking about two men come down the road and they seen a turtle. Laying there on the side of the road. Actually, it's just walking around everywhere. And they look closer, Brother Corey, and its head had been cut clean off. He got the picture. His head was cut off, but it's just walking around everywhere. They stood there, Paul, one of them men said, man, that's amazing. That turtle's dead, but it's still moving. Another fellow looked at him and said, no, you got it all wrong. That turtle's alive because it's still moving. And they said, no, that turtle's dead. Its head's cut off. It's dead. It's just still moving. And the person said, "Oh, no, you got that all wrong. That turtle's alive because it's still moving." Well, they went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Third man walked up. Kurt, they looked at him and they said, you answer this for us. We can't breathe. You break the tie. I say it's dead because it's head cut off. He says it's alive because it's still moving. What do you think? Said that third man, stood there for a few minutes and looked at him. He said, "Well, best I'm figuring, it's dead. It just don't move." I think that's funny tonight, but there's a lot of truth to that. You realize tonight that there's a great Cochran family in that little story. That's the same way we are a lot of times. We're dead to sin. We just don't realize.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. We're dead to self. We just don't realize.
Yeah.
We're dead to the world. We just don't realize it this evening. And don't you know, to the world, we look crazy. We look like a turtle. Having his head cut off, running around everywhere. And they're trying to figure out, are they dead? Are they alive? What are they? It do us good to realize we're dead to it this evening. Watch this. Because of sin, he paid a price that he shouldn't have to pay. If he just went to Nineveh, he'd still have that money in his pocket. Can I say this tonight? If we'd ever get to the place we just realize we're dead to sin, we're dead to the world, and we're dead to ourselves, we'd quit paying the cost of sin that we ought not be paying it. Somebody help me right there.
Right.
If you're dead, listen to me. I told my wife the other day, I said, if there's anything I'm looking forward to about being dead, that's the fact there ain't going to be no more bills coming my name. Somebody help me right there. That's so why in the world, if I'm dead to sin, I want to keep paying the bill for it. Somebody help me. I'm about to come slap on the head. But the price has already been paid. It's already been settled. Why should I pay the price? But it's already been settled.
That's right.
He paid a price that ought not even pay. He just realized that to be obedient to God. Now watch this. I see his cost. Now watch this. I see his company. Watch verse 3. Bible said, paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Now watch this. To go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now you say, preacher, who did he go with? Watch verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea and delighted of them. But Jonah was gone down the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. You realize he wasn't the only one on that ship. There was a whole crew went with him. He had company. Is that right?
Amen.
Can I say this? You know what I believe? You don't have to agree with me. That's fine. You know what I believe is the number one allurement of sin, especially the young people, but even us that are adults. It's the fact that it looks like everybody's are going that way.
Amen.
Is that right? Peter went to Nineveh been by himself. You ever thought about that? That right?
Yeah.
God didn't have nobody going with him. He'd been going by himself. But when he went to Tarshish, when he went his way, there's a whole crew went with him. But look who they were. Watch that one little phrase. They cried unto their gods.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Yeah. You tell me if I'm wrong. But look in your Bible. Tell me if I'm wrong. Is that not a little G-O-D-S?
Yeah.
You know what they're doing? He went with a bunch of heathens that served heathen gods.
Yeah.
Is that right? Can I say this? It may seem like he's more with you when you go your way. Let me tell you who you'll be going with. You'll be going with a bunch of heathens. Somebody help me right there. They've been going with people that love money more than they love you. Somebody help me. That's somebody that loves faith. That's more than they love the Lord. That's somebody that loves popularity. That's more than they love the Lord. That's somebody that loves a good name. Lord, they'll be serving all kinds of things. Well, let me just get mean. It might be they love ball more than they love the Lord. Somebody ought to say that right there.
Oh,
it might be they love the television. More than they love the Lord. It may be they love their extracurricular activities. More than they love the Lord. It may be they love sin. More than they love the Lord. But they will have their gods.
Amen.
That's the crowd he went with. There was a crowd, but there wasn't much help once they got out there in the dead. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Hey, I'm paraphrasing. You'll find out they come to him and said, "We've done everything we know to do. We've cried unto our gods, and there's been nothing done. You've got to get up and try yours."
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
Amen.
You know what I like about the whole story? Jonah got up and told them who his God was. And they said, "Why in the world don't you remember?" That's what the Bible paraphrasing. That's what they're saying. If that's your God, why haven't you been crying out before? They must have heard something about him. You reckon? Listen, they see his company going down. Now watch this, I'm done. Watch this quickly.
I don't really see his coming. But then I'm going to say this. I see the consequence. Now watch this tonight. Verse 4, the Bible said, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. You realize that the Lord had to send a consequence Jonah's way because he decided to be disobedient. Had to send a storm in his life. Now watch this. That wasn't all the Lord did. He sent the storm to get him into the whale's belly. Is that right? But you know the sad thing is tonight, that's what I really want to get. I'm done, I promise. I can understand tonight, looking at Jonah, and I said, boy, I can almost, I know it's fleshly, but Jonah, I almost say, serves him right for being disobedient. But you know the sad thing, Jonah wasn't the only one in the storm.
Amen.
All them that went with him to Tarshish was in the storm with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Is that right?
That's right.
Can I say this tonight? There is a consequence to disobedience. And maybe you're not the only one that feels it. I look back through my life. Listen to me. Can I talk to you just a minute? I'm done. I look back through my life. I remember before I had seizures. I remember I knew that the Lord was telling me I need to quit the job I was working. But I did not want to. I didn't want to do it, Corey. I knew what I was supposed to do, and I thought, Lord, there's no way that church would give me anything to even close to what I'm making. There's no way I'm done. You know what he did, Kirk? He laid me flat on my back for 2 years. But he got me to quit. But you know the sad thing? I look back and I say, I deserve that. But I thought my life went through a whole 9-month pregnancy with Andrew that I don't even remember to this day because of mess and everything going on. I don't remember her being pregnant with Andrew at all. She went through every bit of it by herself because of my disobedience. She went through the struggles financially because of my disobedience. Now, I hope you get this. I'm convinced, Lydia, if I just done what the Lord told me to do, he'd have made a way somehow, but he'd never struggled. I'm convinced of that. But he laid me up flat on my back and let me struggle for 2 or 3 years that my wife went through, my youngins went through. And somebody help me right there. That was not necessary. I'd have just been obedient. I thought about how the church struggled. Well, let me say this. Your family can struggle because of your disobedience. Your marriage can struggle because of your disobedience. Your job can struggle. I'm not talking about your performance in job. I'm talking about your company. The place you work can struggle because of your... Somebody help me right there. And you say, oh, first I'll pop me a bit, let them struggle. Let the place struggle. Guess what? Your paycheck struggles. And listen to me. Hey, your job can struggle. Your church can struggle. There's all kinds of things that can struggle and go through consequences because of your disobedience.
Yeah.
There is a danger of disobedience. Jonah ended up in the bed of the whale in the depths of the sea. But before that, he went through a storm. And all them others went with him. And can I say this? Listen to me. Had it not been that Jonah confessed, get to heaven said, but it's all right. Had it not been he confessed and told the full men of the ocean, I'm convinced the Lord would have broke that ship.
Amen.
I believe he would have died out on the sea. And God, I believe him others would have died with him. And you know the sad thing? They have died and went to hell.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
I'm not trying to be ugly. I've never heard this preached like this, but I'm just telling you what the Lord showed me. I hate Kirk. Take somebody to send somebody to hell because of my disobedience.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awful? I'm not just talking about my obedience to the call to preach. I'm not just talking about my obedience to. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm saying the decisions we make on a daily basis could affect somebody's eternal security. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Man, we take it so light. The Lord says, stop by and see so-and-so. And we think, well, it's no big deal. But it could be who's the last one to go by. I've been there, by the way. I've been there when the Lord said, stop and see so-and-so. I know that's what he's telling me to do. And I thought, well, I got to get home. I'm running late. Kim's got supper on the table. I got to go. I've had the phone call. Kirk had died the next morning. I thought, my God, if I just went. My God, if I've just been obedient. And I say this, there is a danger to being disobedient.
Amen.
Let's stand our feet. Ask the musicians they would come get a song of invitation.